very first point was Ichabod will be written on the doorpost of the church, number one, when we lose excitement over new birth. You understand, there was no excitement about that child. They were grieving. His mom was grieving over her husband and his dad dying and her father-in-law dying and the Ark of the Covenant being taken. And that child was called Ichabod, meaning the glory has departed. I never want to get over the excitement of new folks coming to know Christ, amen, and new birth in the church house. So, but anyway, I want to preach on a subject tonight. I want to preach on a subject tonight that I believe could be a help to each and every one of us. I believe it with all my heart, from the youngest to the eldest. I believe it could be a help to us. And sometimes we get the frame of mind that the only ones that ever have passed that they regret are those of us that used to live in halfway houses, or maybe still live in halfway houses, or those of us that have gone through county jails, and those of us just like my mom and dad. I remember many times being shackled as I would go through the courthouse, and I would look up there on the front row in that courthouse, and I'd see a broken-hearted mom and a broken-hearted dad with tears streaming down their face. And many times we get the frame of mind that the only ones that have passed that they regret are those of us that maybe had to stand up like I did from the time I was 14, time I was 22, and say in AA meetings and say, "My name is Chris Dallas. I'm a dope addict and alcoholic." But that's not the case at all. I guarantee you, those that grew up in Christian homes, those that never put any liquor or dope in their body, I guarantee you, every single one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, we all have past mistakes. We all have past failures. We all have past blunders of life that we hope nobody else ever finds out about. We all have those past mistakes. But I'm thankful that I don't have to live the regrets of yesterday. I'm glad that I can get past those past mistakes and those past failures, those past blunders. And tonight you say, "Well, how in the world can I get past all of these things that I've done wrong in life?" Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's the message tonight. And I don't have all the answers to life's questions, but I'm glad that I hold a book in my hand called the Bible that does have all the answers to all of life's questions. And tonight, for those of you maybe that have been in Bible college or whatever the case may be, you'll find out very quickly this is not a homiletically correct message. If you're sitting there tonight and you say, "Man, I don't know what homiletically correct means." Well, you're better off not even knowing what it means anyway. But so what I mean by that is this, message tonight doesn't have 3 points and 2 sub-points under each point. It doesn't have, matter of fact, it's pointless tonight, amen. But anyway, I'm going to come from one angle, and I'm going to come another angle, and then I'm going to come another angle and another angle. And I just want to drive one truth home tonight, and hopefully with the help of the Lord, every single one of us can get past our past tonight. Amen. Stand with me, if you would, as we take reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Philippians in chapter number 3. Philippians in chapter number 3. Can they share your Bible again? These fellows right here, they need the Bible real bad tonight. No, I want you to see that this is a great truth that Paul wrote to us tonight. Good to see Donnie. Remind me of your name. Good to see Donnie and Eddie in church tonight. Amen. Donnie got saved today. He didn't know it, but he's my brother from another mother now. Amen. And so, amen. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 12. Look at this. This is so powerful tonight. The Bible says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for these next few minutes that you'd bring a holy hush upon this place and you'd speak to hearts, Lord, only like you can. And dear God, I pray for those of us that are saved, and Lord, we experience victory in Jesus the very moment that we receive Christ as Savior. But Lord, some, there's no doubt in my mind tonight, there's probably some under the sound of my voice that are living in their mind because the devil will not let them get past their past. Lord, I'm thankful that it's never you that reminds us of our past, but Lord, it's always the devil. And Lord, you've gotten past our past. And Lord, I pray that you give us victory to get past our past as well. And Lord, we'll give you all honor and glory and praise for what you do. And again, Lord, if there's anybody lost here tonight, we pray that you'd save them by the good grace of God. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me lay a foundation, then we'll get right into the message tonight. As an evangelist now that's traveled the country for these last 18 years, I don't know if it's because of the life that God saved me from or whatever the case is, but I spent quite a bit of time in spiritual counseling, either with new Christians or with new Christians that are struggling just because of the life that maybe that God saved them from, or some past mistakes, past failures, and past blunders of life. I've spent time even this week, either in person or on the phone, trying to help God's people get back on track spiritually to help them overcome difficulties and get to the place where they can enjoy the victorious Christian life. May we be reminded tonight that the devil is a liar and he's the father of lies. And the devil, you understand, how many of you are saved by the grace of God? Raise your hand good high. Let's do it Memphis, Tennessee style. Raise both hands. You're saved by the grace of God. Amen. And we understand tonight that before you and I were saved by the grace of God, the devil was in an all-out attack for our soul. Now that we are saved, the devil has lost the battle for our soul, but that doesn't mean the devil's quit fighting. You understand, if you're saved, he's not fighting for your soul tonight, but you know what he's fighting for? He's fighting for your mind. And if he can get us to think about things and ponder on things and dwell on things that we shouldn't think about and ponder on and dwell on, then in all reality, he gets victory over our minds. And one of the things that he brings back to our mind time and time again are those past mistakes, those past failures, and those past blunders. May I say to you this evening, God wants you to live in victory. You understand, victory means to overcome. It does not mean not to have opposition or an enemy. God's people that are going to try and live holy, clean, and pure in this wicked world, you better believe that there is going to be opposition. Victory means to overcome. And one of the difficult burdens that folks bear is the burden of a difficult past. Sometimes those pasts consist of haunting sins that are in the past that anchor or hold down that person from serving God. Sometimes those pasts consist of troubling failures, things that they may have tried to do, but they failed, and that bothers them, and that holds them back from serving God. Can I tell you, my dear friend, God saved every one of us for a purpose, and that purpose is to live for Him and to serve Him. And my dear friend, if God was good enough to save you by the good grace of God, God's good enough to use you for the grace of God as well, my dear friend. And so, sadly, there are tens of thousands of people that are at home tonight that should be in church tonight, but somewhere along the way, they've been hurt in church or by someone, and that has become a reason or an excuse for them not to be in church tonight. Oftentimes, somebody will say to me, "Well, preacher, I just cannot forget my past enough to move forward in the Christian life." Well, I want to help you with that this evening. I want to help you to overcome your haunting sins. I want to help you tonight to overcome your troubling failures. I want to help you tonight to overcome those memories of hurts and pains in the past. Now, I want to make sure I'm not on a lonely island by myself. I'm not the only one that has past mistakes, past failures, and past blunders. Anybody else here tonight, amen? And those of you that are not raising your hand, let me just say this. The only thing that's holding up your halo is the horns in your head, amen? But all of us have past failures and past blunders, amen? Most of us here tonight that have heard of the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Now, we understand the Apostle Paul is the human penman that wrote the book of Philippians under the inspiration the Holy Spirit of God. But can I say tonight, before Paul was saved by the grace of God, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was a religious man, but Saul of Tarsus was not a born-again Christian. In fact, Saul of Tarsus, he saw Christians and Christianity as an enemy of his religion, the religion of Judaism. And so not only did Saul of Tarsus dislike Christians, but Saul of Tarsus, he legally got letters of permission to stop these growing churches and an increasing number of Christians that were spreading this saying that there was a man named Jesus that died and was buried and rose again. And Saul of Tarsus despised that teaching. Saul of Tarsus believed in Judaism before his conversion. So he, of course, he had a troubled past as he persecuted Christians and he tried to destroy churches and even tried to bring many Christians up to be martyred. Think about it with me tonight, church. The first time that you and I come across this Saul of Tarsus, or the first time that you and I meet the great Apostle Paul within the pages of this Bible, his hands are stained with the blood of martyrs. And it's amazing to me what God did to this very man and used him to pen the very words of 1 Corinthians 13, where he said this, "And the greatest of these is charity," or love, if you would. I say that that's a transformation, wasn't it, to see him to go from a life that he lived to the Christian that he became. We all know the story on the Damascus Road, how he came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, and the Lord revealed himself unto him, and Saul of Tarsus was saved by the grace of God. And Saul of Tarsus, he wanted to stop the spreading of the gospel, but God had plans for Saul of Tarsus, and it wasn't to stop the spreading of the gospel, but it was to save him by the grace of God, and for Saul of Tarsus to become the Apostle Paul and spread the gospel like it had never been spread before. So in this passage of Scripture, it speaks of forgetting in verse number 13. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. Well, what is Paul talking about, forgetting those things which are behind? He wants to forget that he had despised and persecuted and even killed Christians for their faith. Could you imagine? Paul would go to sleep that night and he would toss and turn in agony as he would have the nightmares and he would see those that he killed for the sake of Christian or the sake of his religion. These were memories. These were pain. These were haunting sins. These were failures in his past that bothered him. Now, what would Paul do to help him to move forward, to have the joy of the Lord, that he would write this very book of Philippians, that he would be able to forget his past? Well, I want you to look at Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse number 12 again with me. He said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after." Now, I want us to understand this. Paul is not talking about a sinless perfection. But he's talking about reaching his potential in serving the Lord. Paul is saying this. He said, "I am not there yet. There is more that I want to and I can do for Christ." Paul is saying, "I can be a better Christian than I am today." He said, "I'm not perfect." And then he says, "But I follow after." And then I love that next phrase that he said, "If that I may have apprehended that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus." Paul is saying that God saved me for a purpose, and I want to fulfill that purpose. And my friend, can I say that ought to be our desires tonight, my friend. I'm talking about the one that took our place on the cross of Calvary. He laid down his life willingly. He shed his blood for your sin and for my sin so that we can escape the fires of hell and go to heaven. And my dear friend, we ought to want to fulfill God's purpose for our life. I've heard of many of you Christians make this statement. They say, I'm so excited about my salvation that I'm even willing to die for God. Can I say God is not asking us to die for Him? God is asking us to live for Him and to fulfill His purpose for our life. Look at Philippians chapter 3. I'm just laying a foundation. We'll get into the preaching here in just a moment. Look at verse number 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is recognizing that he is not where he wants to be in his Christian life. I ask you this evening, can we all relate to that statement? Can all of us say this evening, or can we say that we're satisfied, or can we say that I desire to be a better Christian for Christ today than I was yesterday? And that should be the desire of every one of us that are saved. No matter what our age, from the youngest to the eldest, we should desire to do exactly what God has saved us to do, so we can relate to Paul when he says, I have not yet reached where I want to be in my Christian life. I want to point out something else to us tonight. Paul was continuing to grow. He was growing spiritually, and that ought to be the goal of every Christian here as well. He said, I may not be where I want to be, but praise God, I'm not where I used to be either, amen. I may not be where I want to be, but Paul said, I may not be where I want to be, but praise God, I'm not where I used to be. I know I said that three times in a row, but I just want to make sure you get it. So Paul is not satisfied. He's still striving, but he's thankful that he's not where he used to be. And then he recognized that God had a purpose for him, and he wanted to fulfill that purpose. And then Paul makes a statement that really got my attention, and I wanted to grab a hold of your attention tonight. And here's the message. If you don't get this truth, you won't get nothing else in the message tonight. I want you to see it tonight. Is it verse number 13? Sure it is. It's verse number 13. Look at it with me. The Bible says, Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now look at this next statement. Paul said, but this one thing I do. He said, but this one thing I do. Now look at it with me. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you looking at that verse? Everybody looking at that verse? Is there a period after that word behind? No. Matter of fact, as you can tell, I'm not an English major whatsoever, but matter of fact, there's a three-letter word that we call a conjunction in English class. It says and. It says, Paul said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Well, Brother Paul, I thought you said right here in the Word of God, this one thing I do. But Paul, as I read that, there's two things that come after that phrase, but this one thing I do. You said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, but Paul, he rebukes me and he says, no, I understand what I said. It is this one thing I do. He said, I want to forget those things which are behind, and the only way I can forget those things which are behind is reach forth unto the will of God. Amen. He said, you understand, I want you to think about it with me. He said, this one thing I do. It appears that he writes down two things, but actually he's only writing down one thing while making two different accomplishments. I want you to follow. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Here's what Paul is saying. He said, this is where I was, and I want to forget this. I want to forget that I hated the name of Jesus Christ. I want to forget that I hated Christianity. I want to forget that I threw men, women, boys, and girls in prison for lifting up the name of Jesus. I want to forget that I was issuing out threatenings and slaughters against that early church. Paul said, the only way I can forget is I've got to leave my past and I've got to walk towards the will of God. And the more I go towards the will of God, the more my past is in the rearview mirror. You understand, my dear friend? If you want to just keep on remembering the past, I'll tell you how you do that. You just stay in the past. You just wallow in the past. You just keep on talking about the past. But my dear friend, if you want to get past your past, hey, leave here and go towards the will of God for your life. Are you with me tonight? He said, I'm not just leaving here, I'm going over there. And me going over there, I'm leaving here. I want to point something else out to us. Paul did not say, I forgot. He did not use that phrase, I have forgotten my past. He didn't say that at all. It's very interesting to me that he says, I am forgetting. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. Now you understand tonight, if Paul used the word forgot or forgotten, see, that is something that is finished. But he didn't say forgot, he said, I am forgetting. I want you to see the picture. He said, I'm leaving my sinful past, and the more I pursue the will of God, the more I get away from my sinful past. And as I pursue, I'm leaving. He said, I was a few feet from my sinful past, but the more I pursue of God, the more I forget. And as I move forward toward the will of God, the more I'm forgetting the past. This one thing I do. Well, what is this one thing I do? Well, Paul says, I pursue the will of God. Paul said, I just can't forget all the terrible, wicked things that I've done. But I tell you what, as I pursue the will of God, and as I find joy in the will of God, I find happiness in doing the will of God. And the more I do that, the more I forget my sinful past. Now, stay with me this evening. This one thing I do. So the further that Paul goes in the will of God, the further he gets from his past. You understand? Many people, they think and they try and they work to simply forget past failures, to forget haunting sins, and to forget pains and memories of the past. But all they do is they focus on the past and they focus on a terrible person, and I have such tremendous mistakes, and I failed God so many times, and if I ever get over this, then I'm going to begin to serve God. Can I say that's not how you begin to serve God? That's not how you get past your past. You start serving God, and as you serve God, you take the focus off of you, and you put the focus on others, and the focus on God. And my friend, by the time we start putting our focus on other people, it takes the focus off of us and off of our past, and we're going towards the will of God for our life. This coming from one angle and another angle and another angle to drive this point home tonight in our hearts. And as long as we sit here and we talk about our past, and we remind ourselves of our past, and can I say the devil does a pretty good job at reminding us of our past, doesn't he? He'll remind us of every failure, and he'll remind us of every sin. Let somebody ask you to quote some verses that you learned, and you say, well, I might be able to do that, or I might not be able to do that. But isn't it amazing how difficult it is to remember something good, and how difficult and almost impossible it is to forget something that is wrong? We try to memorize Scripture, and boy, we get up early in the morning, and we stay up late at night and trying to memorize Scripture, and we think we have it all in our mind, and we're supposed to get up in church or Sunday class and quote that verse for memory, and it don't come to our mind. But we can go to Walmart, we hadn't heard that old song in about 5 years, and all of a sudden we hear it playing on the speakers, and we can just sing it word for word. My friend, the devil does that. It's amazing how difficult it is to remember something good, and how difficult and almost impossible, again, it is to forget something that is wrong. So you know how to forget the past. Get out of it. Quit dwelling in it. Quit talking about it. Get so wrapped up in the will of God that you forget about your past. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and he said, I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm moving forward. You understand, the further I get from the shore, the less I can see it, and the more I can see the will of God. You see what the devil wants to do? He wants to sign every one of us up for a class that will remind us of every failure we've ever had and every reason, and start blaming this and that and the other for why we failed. And we don't want to live there. Don't live in your past memories. Don't live in your past mistakes. Don't live in your past failures. My dear friend, God has a will for every one of our lives. Again, He saved us for a purpose. He served us He saved us for a reason. He saved us for a work to do, and that is to help somebody else down the road that was traveling down the same road that we were before we met Jesus. Get busy doing what God has called us to do. And doing the will of God, that's how we get into the process of forgetting the past. You understand, here in just a little while, I'll go out that front door. But I'll never get out that front door if I don't leave this platform. And my friend, you'll never get past your past until you leave there and go towards the will of God. You understand? Church is not designed to remind us of our past mistakes and our past failures and our past sin. But church is designed to lift up God and His will and the joys of serving Jesus and say, get out of your past and start serving God today. Now, where do you want to live? I ask us tonight, in the haunting sins of the past? Do we want to live in the failures of the past? Do we want to live in what the devil reminds us of? I want to get so engulfed in the will of God that I can't even see the past any longer. You see, the devil wants to sign us up for classes to remind us of our past, but Jesus wants to sign us up for a class to teach us how to serve Him. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And for Paul to reach those that had not heard the gospel, for him to forget where he had been and persecuting Christians of the gospel, he had to leave where he was at and tell somebody else what Jesus had done for him. Let me ask us all a question tonight. Think about it with me practically. What is it that causes us to forget most? Is it talking about the same thing all the time? No. Is it dwelling on the same thing all the time? No. What causes us to forget is we get our mind on something else. We get sidetracked. Us men that are married, we all know about this tonight. Our wife will ask us to go to the grocery store. And she'll tell us before we leave the house to get some eggs and bacon and milk. But when we come back home, we have potato chips, frozen chicken fingers, and pizza rolls. Amen. We got sidetracked on something else. Now, what causes us to forget? We get our mind on something else. You see, once I was lost, I was in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within. But with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, and mercy and love, He took me under His wings. Oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. No longer an outcast, no longer an alien, no longer a lost sinner, no longer unforgiven, but I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm set apart for the Master's use. And my friend, let me say it again. What I said in our opening statements, it's never the God of heaven that reminds us of our past. It's always Slewfoot Satan that reminds us of our past. And dear child of God, I'll tell you how you get past the past. Go towards the will of God. And the more we get wrapped up in the will of God, we forget about our past. Paul said this in Philippians 1:27. He said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He said this in Colossians 1:29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His work in which worketh in me mightily. Paul, do you remember when? No, sir, I don't think about that. But I will tell you what there is. There's a town up there that has never heard the gospel, and my goal is to get to that town and tell them about Jesus. Well, Paul, do you remember when? Well, I'm forgetting all about that, because the more I work to get the gospel to that town that's never heard the gospel, the more I forget my past. Paul didn't say, I have forgot. Paul didn't say, it's over. And my friend, I'm teaching tonight on the subject of forgetting. I have not forgot, but I am forgetting. But can I tell you, every now and then, I'm not talking about wallowing in the past. I'm not talking about living in the past and dwelling in the past. But every single one of us ought to take a walk down memory's lane every now and then and remind ourselves where we were at before we met Jesus. Amen. And may we all be reminded today, whether we grew up on a church pew or whether we were in the deepest, darkest stains of sin, every single one of us were an outcast of that place called heaven before we met the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But Paul said, he said it's not over. But he did say, I'm having a good time forgetting. And the more I do the will of God, the more I'm forgetting about my past. That's why we ought to get busy once we're saved by the grace of God. Amen. My dear friend, I just made my mind up. when I got saved by the grace of God, before I got saved, I knew the life that I was living was taking me down a dead end road of destruction. I knew that, and boy, for a year and a half, 2 years before I actually got saved by the grace of God, I wanted to get over my addiction. I wanted to get past that. I wanted to make my mom and dad proud. I wanted to be a success story, but I just could not do it in my own energy and in my own efforts. But thank God I got saved by the grace of God, and I just made up my mind, lock, stock, and barrel. Boy, to the extent that I once lived for the devil is now the extent that I'm going to live for God, and I made my mind up. The world is behind me. The cross is before me, and I've decided to follow Jesus. And that's why we ought to get busy serving God, amen. We ought to get busy working on a van route or a bus route. We ought to get busy going out soul winning. We ought to get busy helping out around the church. And instead of thinking about ourselves and having a pity party of our past, we ought to think about somebody else that does not have the same Christ living in them that we have living in us. I know we have personal responsibilities. Personal burdens. I know we have cares, but the only way I can overcome and get in the process of forgetting the past is get busy doing the will of God. You ought to pursue the will of God. I don't know what the ultimate will of God for anyone's life is tonight, but I do know what the simple will of God is for our life. The simple will of God is for every one of us to read our Bible every day. The simple will of God is for us to spend time with God in prayer every single day. The simple will of God is for every one of us to be at the house of God every time we should be at the house of God. And you say, Brother Dallas, when is that? Every time the hinges on that door opens, we ought to be at the house of God. Amen. I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night, revival service, whatever the case is, we ought to be at the house of God. Our life into somebody else that needs someone to help them. Find out what it is to go to the nursing homes and the hospitals or the jail cells and spread some love and cheer to somebody that is lonely and hurting. I'm saying you can't forget your past by staying there. You have to leave there to get over there. You have to leave here to get over there that very first night. You understand, just because I got saved on August 16, 1998 didn't mean that my mom and dad automatically just opened up their door and say, boy, come on back home. No, they didn't do that at all. Matter of fact, I was court ordered to that halfway house that I lived in. And I remember, I don't know what you do in AA meetings, but I know what I did. Boy, I didn't care anything about that, about going to those meetings. Matter of fact, most times I was going to those meetings, I was court ordered. And I wanted help, so there was times that I wanted help, and I was seeking help, but most of the times, I was just doing it because I was court-ordered. And I would go in there, and boy, I would lie, and I would never get true with myself, or true with God, or anything like that. But I remember that first night after I got saved by the grace of God, we were sitting in a circle in that AA meeting, and a fella got up and said, my name is so-and-so, I'm a dope addict and alcoholic, and he began to tell a little bit about how he got victory that week to stay sober that week, and this fella began to get up, and this fellow began to get up. And I remember sitting there, and I stood up and I said, my name is Chris, and I'm a drug addict and alcoholic. And I said, I went to church last night, somebody told me about Jesus, and last night I got saved by the grace of God. Amen. You understand, I didn't know how to take a Bible. I didn't know how to share the gospel with somebody and win them to Christ. But I did know that Jesus made a difference in my life there that night. Amen. And can I tell you, so many times people use the excuse, well, Brother Chris, the reason that I'm not a soul winner and the reason that I don't witness is because I don't know the Bible as well as Brother Reiser does, or I don't have scripture memorized like Sister so-and-so does. My friend, if you're saved by the grace of God, you know what Jesus has done in your life, so tell somebody else what he's done, amen? And that'll help you get past your past. Paul said, I have not forgot, but he did say, I'm forgetting. I ask you tonight, are there haunting sins in your past that you wish you could forget? Are there failures that you wish you could erase from your life? Are there memories of pain and memories of fear in your past and it bothers you? I'll tell you how to begin forgetting, and that is to begin the journey of doing the will of God. So many times I've had people say, Preacher, when I get this taken care of, then I'm going to be saved. You know how you take care of that? You take care of it by getting saved, and then God does the work from the inside out. I'll finish with this story. I believe I've given my salvation testimony here before, so I won't go in complete detail about it at all, but at 22 years old, I was definitely at the end of my rope. And my mom and dad put me out of the house, and they signed a restraining order against me where I couldn't even come within 100 yards of the house. There that day when I found out that the restraining order was against me and I couldn't go within 100 yards of their house, I began to go to those friends' house and began to knock on their doors and began to ask them if I could have a place to stay for a night or two. And all they want to know is, how much money do you have and how much dope do you have? And when I didn't have either one, they didn't have a place for me to stay either. And I found myself running out of gas about a mile south of a little town called Hernando, Mississippi, and I was able to coast into a rest area, and that's where I lived in my car for weeks. Fast forward from when I lived in my car till now, 2024, about 6 months after being homeless, living in that rest area in my car, about 6 months after that, I got saved in August of 1998. And so fast forward from 1998 to now, 25 years later, these last 18 years, I've been traveling the country in evangelism. And there's about a half a dozen times every year, especially around the Christmas season, where Nikita and I, we will drive from Lexington, Kentucky, and we'll drive to Houston, Texas, where her parents live, where my in-laws live. And we'll go up the Arkansas route through Texarkana and Marshall, Texas, and get to Houston that way. But we'll come back home through Mississippi. And especially every Christmas, there's never a time where I pass by that little town of Hernando where the old devil gets on my shoulder. And he begins to whisper in my ear. He begins to remind me, you remember when you lived in that rest area? You remember when you were nothing but a drug addict that would steal from anybody? You remember when you almost sent your mom and dad to an early grave? You remember when you did this and you remember when you did that? How many of you ever experienced the devil getting on your shoulder reminding you of your past mistakes? And boy, for years that bothered me, it haunted me, and boy, it felt like it limited me in what I could do for God. But when I got a hold of this truth, that the only way I can forget my past is go towards the will of God, I remember after the Lord gave me that truth, I was going through that area back around about 7 or 8 years ago around Christmas time, and I came up to that little town of Hernando, and the devil got on my shoulder just like he had every other time when I passed by that area. But there that day, I just hit the gas a little bit harder, and I just kept on going, and I just kept on going, and I just kept on going down the road to Sulphur, Louisiana, to the Grace Baptist Church, where I was preaching revival there that week. And my friend, you understand, the more I went towards the will of God, the more my past was in the rearview mirror. And dear friend, the only way any of us can get past our past failures, our past blunders, our past mistakes in life, you understand, we're not going to completely forget, but we can be in the process of forgetting. And my friend, the only way we can do that is go towards the will of God. And the more we get wrapped up in the will of God, the more our past will be in the rearview mirror. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed all across the building tonight. I wonder who would say, Brother Dallas, I'm saved by the grace of God. I know heaven is my home. There's no doubt about it. There's been a definite time and a definite place. By faith, I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. How many of us would say that tonight? I see those hands. I see those hands. You can lower your hands. Those of us that raised our hands tonight, that we know Jesus is our Savior, we know heaven is our home. How many of us that are saved tonight would say, Brother Dallas, I am saved and I know heaven is my home. Brother Dallas, to be completely honest tonight, there's past mistakes and past failures and past blunders that I'm haunted by day after day after day. And I feel like that there's no way in the world that I could ever bring honor and glory to God with the life that I have because of those past mistakes. And Brother Dallas, I'd ask you to please pray along with me that I too can get past my past and I can go towards the will of God where I can bring honor and glory to His name. How many of us would say that tonight with an uplifted hand? I see those hands all over the building. God sees those hands. God sees those. I wonder you're here tonight and say, Brother Dallas, to be completely honest with myself and honest with God that knows everything anyhow, Brother Dallas, I was not able to raise my hand that I know Jesus is my Savior. I was not able to raise my hand that if I were to die today, that I know for 100% sure that heaven's my home. I was not able to do that. I sure would like to know that, but I do not know that. And Brother Dallas, would you please pray with me that I would get that settled in my life before it's eternally too late? If that's your testimony, Brother Dallas, I do not know that if I were to die today, heaven would be my home. Would you please pray for me? If that's your testimony, I wonder if you just lift up your hand good and high, let it right back down. Brother Dallas, I do not know if I were to die today that heaven would be my home. Just slip up your hand good and high, let it right back down. Let's stand all across the building tonight. I know that we're limited in space tonight, but maybe at your chair, maybe if you want to come forward to this altar, why don't we just kneel in prayer?